Recording in progress.
We'll call to order this regular session of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, and I will ask Councilmember Newsom to lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please rise if you can.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, if you are attending here in person, and there's a few of you here, welcome. If you're on Zoom, KPRL 1230, on Channel 20, on YouTube, wherever you are watching or listening to the City Council meeting, we welcome you. If you are not currently online but would like to call in during community forum or for public comment on any of the items that are appearing on the agenda this evening, you can do so by calling into the following number, 669-900-6833. Let me give you that number one more time. It's 669-900-6833. And then you'll be asked for a meeting ID. That meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Again, 889-2347-9018. And also, if you go to atascadero.org and you pull down a copy of the agenda, the very front page will have that information for you. So now I will ask for an approval of the agenda.
I move approval of the agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Barbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the City Clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the City Council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And now I will ask our city attorney, Mr. Pyrick, if there is any reportable action from our closed session on April 19th.
There's no reportable action from that meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Pyrick. Next item on our agenda is a proclamation or a presentation, a proclamation to Lumen Alliance in recognition of Sexual Assault Action Month, and receiving this is Sam Gottlieb. And so I will go ahead and read the proclamation, and then we will ask to hear a few words from you if you like. Whereas Sexual Assault Action Month calls attention to the fact that sexual and intimate partner violence is widespread and can affect people from any background in any community, and whereas Rise and Stand Strong officially merged on July 1st, 2021 to form Lumina Alliance, an agency that serves survivors of sexual and intimate partner violence throughout all of San Luis Obispo County. And whereas, although progress has been made toward preventing and ending sexual violence and providing support to survivors and their families, important work remains to be done. And whereas there is a need to focus on the individualized needs of sexual violence survivors, and whereas the marginalization of certain groups in society, including undocumented individuals, transgender individuals, and those living with disabilities, increases their vulnerability to sexual violence. And whereas Lumina Alliance continues to provide a safe environment to those affected by sexual violence with crisis intervention, counseling, education, and emergency safe housing with the help of dedicated volunteers and professionals. And whereas Lumina Alliance provided services to 1,472 people in 2022, including answering 2,440 calls from the crisis hotline, and provided 417 survivors with more than 6,200 therapy hours. And whereas Lumina Alliance encourages the community to recognize our collective power to create a culture that simultaneously supports survivors and nurtures a world where everyone can live free from violence. And whereas the City of Atascadero strongly supports the efforts of Lumina Alliance, how every segment of our society can work together to better address sexual violence and how to help survivors connect with services. Now therefore be it resolved that I, Heather Moreno, on behalf of the entire City Council, in recognition of the important work done by sexual violence programs, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2023 to be National Sexual Assault Action Month. And welcome forward, Sam.
Oh, yes, it is. Just talking to it. Thank you so very much, Mayor Moreno, and the rest, all of you on the City Council. I am immensely proud of Lumina Alliance and the work that we do. Just to introduce myself, my name is Sam Gottlieb. I am the Chief People and Culture Officer at Lumina Alliance, which means I support all of our folks who are doing this incredible work in the community. And so I'm very, very fortunate to have the job that I do. And it's very moving to have that work recognized, so thank you so much. I think that's about it for me. You summed up what we do very, very succinctly. So thank you again very much, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you and for the work you and your colleagues do. And if you'd like, we'll come forward. We'll take a picture. All right. We're moving on to our consent calendar, and the consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved in one motion unless there is a member of the public or the council wishing to pull an item. So we'll ask if there's any member of the council wishing to pull an item. Seeing none, I will look to any members of the public, and I will go to Zoom here. Let me find if there's any member on the webinar that wishes to pull something. You could raise your hand now. All right, I'm not seeing anybody and no one on the phone, Luke, that I don't see in Zoom. All right, I'll bring that back to council for a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Barbeau, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to the updates from our city manager, Ms. Rickard.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The first one thing I want to talk about tonight is the Waste Management Residential Waste Drop-Off Week. It's actually one of my favorite weeks of the year. Get rid of a bunch of stuff that's laying around. So now through April 29th, Waste Management will be offering free drop-off for Tascadero customers from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Chicago Grade Landfill. This event makes it easy for residents to dispose of extra or large item residential waste at no cost. Non-acceptable items are debris generated from commercial construction or commercial landscaping. And the event is open to all Atascadero Waste Management customers. Now, a voucher is required. You can't just bring your stuff to the dump and say, I'm a Waste Management customer. You actually need to get a voucher, but it is very easy. You can either call Waste Management, and they will get you all set up and get you your voucher right away, or stop by their office on Pueblo Avenue. Very, very simple. In addition, now through April 29th, paper shredding will be available at their customer service center located at 8740 Pueblo Avenue, and that paper shredding is going to be available from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And if you have any questions, please contact Waste Management at 805-466-3636. So just give Waste Management a call, and they're very helpful. We also have another fun event. Our ninth annual Brew at the Zoo is this Saturday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. So get ready to experience over 19 craft breweries, ciders, distilled spirits, and wineries in a commemorative glass, plus a chance to visit all of our animals at the zoo. It is in the evening, so it's kind of fun to see some of those more nocturnal animals moving around a little bit more than we're used to, and some of that. And we are excited to announce that we will have Garden Party Band, Dante Marsh and the Vibe Setters, and a live DJ from Medina Light Show and Design hosting the Hula Hoop Dance and Costume Contest. There will be food for purchase from a variety of food trucks, too. Tickets are on sale now online for only $40 a person. They will increase to $50 a person the night of the gate. Please get your tickets in advance. I'm the one that sells the tickets at the event, and I'm the one that gets to tell people, I'm sorry, we're sold out, you can't come. So please don't make me do that, because I really don't like doing that. Please get them in advance. Make sure you have a ticket. That way you can come. We always do have some tickets available that night, but not a lot. So it's time to get out the animal costumes, dress up, and have fun, all while raising money for the Charles Paddock Zoo. And we have Tamale Festival. So mark your calendar for the 7th annual Tamale Festival and plan your Cinco de Mayo weekend with a sneak peek at tamale vendors on Friday, May 5th, along with enjoying the First Friday Sip and Shop hosted by the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. First Friday kicks off the downtown at 5:30 p.m. along with the A-Town Downtown Passport to get stamped from your favorite retail stores and experience complimentary tours of City Hall and potential fireworks at 8 p.m. if weather is permitting. We're drying out. However, I took a sneak peek, and there is some rain in the forecast. So there is a chance. It's Thursday so far, Terry. You're in good shape so far. The main Tamale Festival is set for Saturday, May 6th from 11 to 7 p.m. and will bring all of the entertainment that you are used to enjoying, from the dancing horses to the folklorica dancers to mariachi, along with a variety of bands to dance to and over 100 vendors, 30 of them are tamale vendors. We have all sorts of contests and awards. You get to vote for your favorite tamale vendors, plus the tamale judging. It is a lot of fun, and it'll be nice to have it here in May. And then we have Pedal to the Garden. In celebration of Bike to Work Week, the city is hosting Pedal to the Gardens on Tuesday, May 16th from 7:30 to 9 a.m. in front of City Hall steps on Palma. Bicyclists of all ages are welcome. Light breakfast and refreshments will be available, and this is done in partnership with Slowcog and Cayman Cyclery. And for all of our event information, we had a bunch of events that took place over the last couple of weekends. Earthshine did an amazing job in the creek. We had Party for the Planet that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun events. So looking forward for future events, go to visitatascadero.com/events, and we have a lot of information right there for everybody interested. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the city manager? I'm not seeing anything. We got a lot of good stuff going on. And so a few years ago, I decided I would no longer do any food judging because it is just way too much. But I can't say no to Terry, so I do the tamale judging. You can see she was like, what? So really looking forward to that event. Top notch. All right. We will move on to Let's see, community forum. Community forum is the portion of our meeting that is reserved for persons wishing to address the council regarding an item that isn't on our agenda this evening, but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we will have a total of 30 minutes available for community forum. So when you come to the podium or come onto Zoom, we just ask you to state your name for the record, and we will have a timer going to just so you can keep track of your time frame. So with that, I will open up to community forum. And if there's any member in Zoom that would like to speak, go ahead and raise your hand. If there's any member here in the public, come on forward. And do not wait, because I'm not seeing hands raised. So let's do that now. If there's anyone on Zoom, raise your hand. All right, I'm not seeing anyone, so last chance. I know sometimes people hang out, they like to be the last one, or they're just maybe nervous, but don't be nervous. All right, well, we'll go ahead and close community forum. And because we didn't have any individuals wishing to speak at this time, community forum will remain open until 6. Oh, we got one. All right. Sheila New, welcome.
I wasn't sure if I could speak now or I needed to wait till it actually was on page 198 about
memory. Yeah, if you're speaking on an item that is on the agenda later tonight, you will wait for that agenda item.
Okay. Do you have any idea when page 198 is going to
Page 198 is that the broadband? Oh, the work plan.
No, it was downtown economic.
Yeah, that will be towards the end of our meeting.
Okay.
So I don't have I don't have a time frame, but please hang out if you're available. We'd love to hear from you then.
I will do my best.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Okay, and so again, we will remain open until 6:45 for community forum, again, any item not on the agenda. And if somebody pops in or something, you kind of let us know. We're going to go on to the next item, and we will get to you at the earliest possible opportunity. With that, we have no public hearings this evening, but we're going to move on to our first management report, which is our North County Broadband Strategic Plan. And this will be our Community Development Director, Phil Dunsmore, and Deputy Director of Economic and Community Development, Lorelei Keppel. I think your microphone is.
There we go. How's that? Excellent. Thank you all. Great. Very excited to be here this evening to talk about the Broadband Strategic Plan project as directed by the 2021-2023 Council Action Plan. Staff is directed to further enhance the broadband internet infrastructure in Atascadero. It's become increasingly more important as a lot of our people in our community are using the internet for remote work, as you know, online learning. Every child has a Chromebook now for school to do their homework on, telehealth, doctor's appointments, and all of those great things, virtual meetings. So the goal really is to work towards a widespread deployment of broadband and that give users, all of our users in the community, higher speeds, more reliable internet, and more affordable internet, too. That's going to be very important for equitable access across all of our residents. So we kicked off the Broadband Strategic Plan in October, and it was about a six-month process. We wrapped late last month, and here we are to talk about the final plan. We'll have Telework's Maria Kelly here to present some of the key findings from the project. We finalized the plan in late March, and here we are this evening. Real quick background. We really wanted to bring to this project a regional approach. This is not just our problem in Atascadero. It's our entire county's problem. We're a rural county, and we share a job shed and a housing shed with Paso Robles, our neighbors, and the county and unincorporated areas around us. So we took this as a regional lens with our friends in Paso Robles, as well as our friends in Templeton, and we're working collaboratively with the county through their process. We were awarded a LATA grant, a Local Area Technical Assistance Grant, about 1 month after we got started on the project, thanks to our collaboration with Paso Robles. And so this project cost has been covered by the state of California. This was a very smooth, expeditious process. I have managed many projects, and none have gone quite so well with so many stakeholders, including two cities co-managing the project. So that was very exciting. It was successful for both us and for Paso Robles, and we had a really great partner in Teleworks who've guided us through the project. So I would say that Maria will get into the details of the plan momentarily, but another couple of important things that you might want to know is, great, so what did this plan do for us, and what does this tool actually do? And so we initiated this project specifically to help us understand what staff needed to do to be ready to help internet service providers deploy more quickly. How can we get out of the way and remove some of the roadblocks? We also wanted to know what grants we should be chasing. They're coming down from infrastructure grants from the federal government. We've got a state of California grant. So we wanted to be sure that we were ready to track those and we had the data and information we needed. We needed a policy analysis. What do we need to change to make sure it's legal and easy for us to deploy when an internet service provider comes in? We needed to understand what is the real problem and what are the gaps and how do we close them. So those were all big pieces of this project. And, of course, the engagement was very robust. Stakeholders, internet service providers, the general public, including the unserved and the underserved, which are very hard to reach when you're asking them to do a broadband survey. So there was a lot of technical support from the Broadband Consortium and Maria Kelly, who was representing Teleworks. And finally, this document is actually something that's going to provide us as staff a very high-level document that says, here's what you need to do next. And those can be very useful or very unuseful. And that's why some plans sit on shelves at the end of the day. But I feel, as a staff member moving forward, very supported by this plan. And there are very clear steps for me to follow. So I feel that the city of Atascadero now has a really great tool, not only to apply for grants now, because we know where our gaps are and what we're trying to do, but also to know when those grants are coming down the pipeline. And a lot of the documents that we need to fill out for grant applications have been done as part of this process. So that's very exciting for me as well. And finally, this is the mechanism, a strategic plan is the mechanism for applying for some of that funding. Without this plan that says these are the gaps and this is what we're trying to do, we can't actually apply for those. So this is, again, another really important tool. Next steps, we can talk about those in a moment, but I feel very clear that we have a upcoming grant deadline coming up in June. We are engaging with internet service providers right now in real time. We do not have final proposals, but we will be working with them and collaborating over the next couple months as soon as this plan is approved and moving forward, and be taking those implementation action items in our plan and moving forward with policy updates, and you'll see all sorts of things coming from us in the future. We've continued to work with Teleworks since the finalization of this plan, and they are still engaging with internet service providers on behalf of the city, because it's really nice as a staff member to have your people talk to their people who talk internet and help us through the legality of making those things happen. So I will be coming back to you next month for a kind of an ad services for the Teleworks team, and just wanted to give you a heads up on that so we can keep the momentum and the engagement going. And you can ask me any questions. Otherwise, we can turn it over to Maria Kelly to present on the strategic plan. Without any questions?
Let's go ahead and go with you, Maria, and then we'll ask all our questions at once.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Hello, Council. Maria Kelly, Atascadero resident, subcontracting with Teleworks. I want to share with you that the last time I was here, I was bookended by Christmas activities. So it's really fun to now be here and have all the next fun activities. So, again, thanks, Lorelei. So I do have a PowerPoint presentation to cover a little bit more about the project scope, how we covered it, timeline, key findings, what did the data tell us? It's always really helpful to understand what the data is telling us and what's driving the project. You can actually jump to the third slide. So the initial project scope was really just looking at, the basic alignment of broadband for all, access, affordability, just those basic pieces, realizing also that Atascadero and Paso Robles really have an economic development interest, and when we're talking about that, we're talking about a much more robust infrastructure. And through those conversations and some of the initial data finding, we augmented the scope and did a light touch RFI with the ISP community to with the data that we had to really then look at to gigabit service. Because what we're talking about is when we're talking about these large infrastructure futures, We're really not talking, we're looking at the minimum speeds of what the government is telling us we want to look at, 120, 100 download, 20 upload, but the future is gigabit. And when we're talking about smart city planning and true redundancy and resiliency with safety, you're talking about gigabit service. So we did veer away a little bit to get a little more information on how that might line up. So that was fun, and I'll be reporting some of those findings. I'm just going to keep going, Lorelei. Okay. So project overview, slide four, just to give you, just to remind you a little bit about how fast this process was and what we did when, where, and the stakeholder in broadband planning, for effective broadband planning, you have to have robust stakeholder engagement because you're touching so many sectors that people don't even realize. That means interviews with the school districts and superintendents and IT and community-based organizations and all these organizations. Really, if you go back one slide, Lorelei, please. I'm on the project overview. So again, just to sort of share with you how the process worked and what works well when you're talking about broadband planning, this is what we did. The meetings, the data collection, the analysis development, sometimes those were crossing over between the data collection, analysis development went all the way up to the end. And then here we are today with some of the project deliverables where I'll share with you some of those key findings. Next slide, please. So a little deeper dive into that timeline just to really show you how fast it was. I really would like to compliment North County and Slo County, but North County in particular, and their robust engagement on the data collection. The speed testing and the needs assessment that we were able to gather really, really helped build the case. And this is the case as Lorelei referenced. This is the data and the information that you're going to be able to use to go to CPUC or the federal funding account and say we really do have unserved and underserved when we're just looking at those minimum speeds, but when we're looking at economic development and future build out, we are an area of need, and specifically around competition. That's what's going to help drive this. So next slide, please. So again, as I mentioned, California Broadband for All is targeting 100% connectivity with access to affordable broadband. Training and equipment and devices, which is the digital equity and inclusion piece. So all of this was taken into consideration. All of this was thought through as the plan was developed, and some of these key recommendations have been made, looking at who are our partners, who may be future partners, just making sure that this project is aligned with the state, the way the state lens is using it, because that also lines up with the Fed. So you do have really good information in your hand. So I'm gonna start in now on the key findings. Another piece that, as we were going into this project and getting started, go ahead to the next slide. I think this will work. As we were going into this project, the FCC broadband map, which is what is determining what funds are getting allocated to what states, there was a FCC challenge process opened. As part of this project, we had enough data to go ahead and submit a challenge on behalf of the cities. The telework staff did do that. It's helpful because it helps with the accuracy now and in the future, because this is not a one and done process. This is an ongoing process. Thanks, perfect. So we were able to use the data that we collected to supply a challenge to the FCC mapping, which was great. What we saw with the FCC, and you're going to see a little bit of data differentiation throughout some of the various places we did collect data. The FCC said we only had 1.3% unserved household and 0.5% underserved. As comparison, when you look at the slide, at the picture right next to it, the CPUC said we had 470 unserved households. We can work with that and figure out where we need to get. So certain funding will allow us to reach certain number of those households, but this was really important and helpful for us to know during our analysis process. And I'm happy to answer any questions on that right now, or if you want me to hold and wait till the end.
I think we're good. Wait until you're finished. Yeah.
All right. So key finding around with the speed test data, what we found out of the 326 speed tests, we were able to identify 17% of those that participated were unserved, and 72% were underserved, and only 11% were served based on census blocks. We would have liked to have seen more census blocks participating, but 33% of your census participation is actually pretty great. So that was fine. We did well. On the infrastructure, looking at when we really were starting to look at what are your assets, what are we looking to connect, want to give great kudos to the staff for their engagement and participation. Anchor institution connectivity is a significant piece of the planning process. While we may start with 7, there are over 58 anchor institutions within this community. Starting with the city infrastructure and getting that all connected is now you have that information and that you need to start making some of those plans and figure out how you want to do that. We were able to assess the middle mile fiber potential, what we do know is there, or where there's future potential opportunities in regards to accessing middle mile fiber, which is going to be important for this final mile, for the sort of the last mile planning. This project really is about last mile planning. We weren't really looking at the extension of middle mile infrastructure within, but we were looking at last mile, but we can see where there could be some enhancements in that middle mile to support last mile. And we looked at all the other additional assets. We've just highlighted some here. We found some abandoned sewer lines that could possibly be used for broadband. So that was helpful. In regards to broadband readiness, and this is what Lorelei was referencing, we did do an analysis and some of the, let me back up a little bit. The California Department of Technology, who is leading all the robust broadband planning really for the state of California, put out a playbook. We took that playbook and we refined it a little bit and asked some key questions and worked really closely with staff to identify and highlight some of the areas that are really important for your consideration as policymakers and for staff to figure out where we can tighten up to make sure that lower those barriers to deployment. That is the goal. That is the goal of the local agency technical assistance grants. So we totally lined that up. And these are the areas where you have opportunities to increase some of the policies and procedures to support broadband planning. So you can see that there's some, and again, it's initially the heavy lift is the identification, and the future next steps are not quite as heavy. It just takes a little bit more time, but we'll get there. So it's really great work by staff and really appreciated their input. So you can see some of the high-level recommendations that are spelled out more clearly in the plan, but these are some of the areas where the city can continue to work. As I mentioned, I reversed mine, I'm sorry. So some of the key findings around digital inclusion, this has to do with not only access to the internet, but affordability, but one of the issues is making sure that our residents not only have access to the internet, but the devices and the training to know how to use it. This was another area where we saw some discrepancy between census data and the CPUC data saying who has access and who doesn't. So you can see on that left side, 9.6% of the households don't have internet access based on census data. If you can remember, based on the speed test data, that number was much lower. Atascadero overall is fairly well resourced, although when you speak to school districts or community-based organizations, we have some really great opportunities to connect people with devices and training. So there are some really good training opportunities or an opportunity to implement training programs. That's not going to totally be on you. That is a partnership. It's a regional partnership and does not require just the city to lift, but more to be aware and help communicate. Always encourage cities to establish a broadband web page or some sort of interface to help communicate when these opportunities come up. So 90% of the households do have access. That pretty much lined up with a lot of what we found in the data and with the needs assessment. So my apologies, but this is not the right presentation. Okay. There's a couple key pieces I don't want to miss. It's the one I sent Friday. Okay. We're good. We'll get there. I can give you a little preliminary. So I'll wait just a minute and make sure where we are.
While you're waiting, what was that far out magenta dot that was far out on the west side as a, you know, like a key institution? We're sitting here wondering.
The magenta dot on the far outside.
Yeah, that little magenta dot right there. What is that?
You either have some sort of, Luke might be able to answer that.
That's our repeater site, would be my guess.
That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, the dots are always fun to decipher, right? But they're helpful.
Just a curiosity.
No,
okay. Thank you.
It's a great question. I like that one. Okay, are we... Okay. I'll just jump into the ISB engagement. We can go back. So as we mentioned, part of the scope did shift a little bit as we wanted to find out a little bit more from the ISPs. And we did, you'll find in the report, we, after some research and some different offerings, we can identify that we know we've got satellite, we have wireless, we have fiber. We reached out to 11 ISPs, not just ISPs that were operating in the area, but we did also reach out to some other ones outside the area. If you recall, about a year and a half ago, Google Fiber was here sort of exploring our area and our county. We did a similar outreach to some other similar companies. What we ended up doing, we ended up meeting with 9 ISPs, mostly local, but some outside the area. And when we set out, when we sent out the sort of the request for information, request for proposal, we did engage with 4 of them, and you can see who they are here. It was a really wonderful process, and it is a process that actually is helping accelerate and expedite some of these future conversations, because we were able to gather some data and information in regards that we really were able to see where the infrastructure, where current ISPs have infrastructure and where those gaps are, or where the competition needs to be sort of slide in. So we switched to an ISP-centered approach, worked with the city, met with their city staff a couple more times, met with the ISPs, and really did ask for some concept proposals based on the 1 gigabit symmetrical, that fiber, who do we need to reach, and how are we going to reach them? And you can see what those results are there. And again, once you dive into the report, you'll see a little bit more about that entire process. It was a great process. It's an important process, and it is probably going to be potentially ongoing, but it is something that the public sector does. It's exactly what we talked about when I presented earlier, the future of broadband deployment are public-private partnerships. That is the way the funding is coming down. It requires the public sector to participate. So you've done exactly what you needed to do. So I jumped ahead. So in that other slide were these key findings. So I presented these key findings initially, but this slide I didn't get to. So of the surveyed, of those surveyed in the needs assessment with internet access, while Atascadero is very well connected, 35% that are connected find their service to be unreliable or very unreliable. That is significant. When we're talking about a future of the digital age and e-commerce and banking and all the things, telehealth, everything that we do digitally, we need reliable and redundant services. And 73% say it's too expensive, which is not a surprise considering broadband services have continued to, or internet services have continued to increase over time. And while some quality has also increased, we're kind of locked in. And it's very difficult for some households making that choice between what services are they going to deem basic, which is why we're seeing internet and broadband services becoming, moving towards the 4th utility. Again, why the public sector is participating. In regards to the affordable connectivity program, working with households here, hope and identifying those numbers, we can see now through the analysis where those opportunities are to, again, hopefully alleviate some of those expenses and concerns. 90% have basic skills, although many say they lack skills. In the public forum that we had, that population, and I think it's captured in the report as well, we find may tend to be second language, English as a second language, and over 55. because that's what they're qualifying. Some places qualify seniors 65, some people say 55, so we just have to go with it. But that's what that data says. So here's a nice diagram of the recommendations, and I'll cover them a little bit more clearly in the next couple of slides, but we broke it out by infrastructure, inclusion, and some policies and management. And so you saw those as I was going through the slides. Looking for concept, as Lorelei mentioned, potentially having a conversation or future action on concept proposal. And then the CASF infrastructure grant, again, that public-private partnership, and focusing on 1 gig deployment. So that's the infrastructure highlight, and I think that that's really important to keep in mind as we move forward. So what are we talking about in regards to timeline of implementation? Here is a potential approach or suggested approach in regards to what we saw as timeline. Obviously, the CASF application is significant. This June 1 is the first breakoff. It is a rotating. It's not a one and done. It's an ongoing. But getting in earlier rather than later would be great, because more demand, increased demand on these funds is going to only happen as other cities and agencies also continue to plan. So looking out through the end of next year, you can see, and for those of you who aren't familiar, the BEAD monitoring, that is the funding that's coming from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act through the NTIA. It is infrastructure and digital equity funding. So I was on a call today, that is a big thing to target, and I have some updates that I'll share with Lorelei next week on what that's gonna require. next slide is, okay, so policies and managing, like I said, management, you know what your next steps is, staff knows what your next steps and what those policy and processes needs to be updated and how long we think it's gonna take you. Policy updates could be completed by the end of this next year, which would be great. But ongoing monitoring and challenging FCC data and CPUC data is going to be important to make sure that we are getting our fair share, or at least getting what we can as the work moves forward. And in regards to digital inclusion, again, this is more of a regional. Digital equity planning really should be done regionally. It is regionally. Of course, there's local components to it. And so working with local entities to have this, the most important thing that the city can do is support ACP enrollment, and that can be done either via website or word of mouth. But one of the programs that your library through the county library system has, it's one of the best online learning, self-taught, self-driven. The only issue is that it's not in multi-language yet. So there would need to be another multi-language component, but this North Star Online Learning Program is absolutely fantastic, and it doesn't cost anything. We don't have a lot of other digital training programs in our community. You can go to Questa, or you could go somewhere, but those programs are more around Excel and Microsoft Word. It's more really geared towards job versus the basic. When I was in ACP enrollment this last weekend, we're really talking about helping certain people sign up with an email and do simple navigation of the internet. And there are certain community members and in our county and locally in our population where resources really are only accessible via the internet, sometimes CalFresh or certain housing applications, job applications. Even in my conversations with Echo, figuring out a way to make sure that certain residents have a computer and a device and are learning how to use it as they become independent, it is becoming a key tool to independence. So just being aware of that as we move forward. And that is the presentation. And happy to answer any questions. I also have a member of the Teleworks team on standby with us if there's any technical questions that I'm not able to answer this evening.
Thank you, Maria. Lorelei, is there anything else on your behalf?
No, I just want to thank Maria for rolling with the punches as we switched up her entire PowerPoint. So thank you.
It was perfect.
That was very well stated, and way to roll with it.
Well
so
done.
Thank you.
Well
yeah,
done.
Let me know if you have any questions for staff or Teleworks.
Sure thing. So what I want to find out from you tonight, Lorelei, we're looking at this strategic plan. And first of all, I want to say, thank you to you and everyone that you worked with, because I know it wasn't
It wasn't just you, although you did lead the charge. There were many that supported you in this process. And it's something that, you know, as a council a couple of years ago, we said this is a priority. You know, it's one of the reasons we ended up hiring you, which has been fantastic. And one of the things that happened is you kind of have reach saying, hey, we're going to do something, but, you know, maybe that's in a few years. And everybody's talking about it, but nobody's doing anything. And then Mayor Sure. Martin and I are talking together and saying, well, what if we just do something? And, you know, we talk with, you know, the city managers, and Maria Kelly gets involved, and let's move forward. So I'm so glad that we did, because here's this this wonderful strategic plan that allows us to start doing these things, and it's all because the five of us were willing to say, yes, we're moving forward, same with PASO, and then the work that you've put in. So thank you so much for that. So what you're looking for from us tonight is more just we're adopting this. We're saying, yes, we're accepting this, we're adopting this, but we're not saying, okay, go do micro trenching. You're going to come back with policies later that are tailored to Atascadero.
That is exactly correct. Yeah, okay. We would be, if it said, if it recommends micro trenching in here, we would actually be sitting down with Public Works and saying, how is that possible? Where can we be doing that? What projects could qualify to make that happen? Is it resurfacing, or does it have to be below a 6-inch, you know, depth? And then we would come to you and say, we'd like to be more broadband ready, and here's a couple things that have been identified that we think will work for our city. So really, this tool is just a larger overlay of things that we need to be doing or can be doing and can consider doing within our framework to be applicable to some, or right, be able to apply for some of the funding, and that are best practices okay, that have been recommended by our consultant team.
Yeah, so I want to be clear, we're not looking for direction tonight. Some of us might be asking questions. We've already asked some questions of you and Rochelle, so we have a lot of, you know, we've had a lot of those answered, so we're not getting into nitty-gritty details, but we may have some high-level questions we want to ask, but beyond yeah, that, you're not looking for anything from us.
Correct.
All right, mm-hmm. Great. With that, I will look to, I'm just going to kind of go to my squares here and I see Mayor Pro Tem Funk with her hand raised.
Thank you. And I want to thank, echo the Bear's remarks and thank Maria and Lorelei and the whole team that worked on this, because it is exciting to see us have a clearer plan for how we need to move forward. Could you go back to the slide that has the maps and in the map particular of the areas that have no service at all, that it's very early in the presentation.
This is the CPUC map.
I think you're looking for the one that had both the PUC
yeah,
and the FCC.
So that was in the other presentation.
Oh, okay. Well, we can
broke
work
it
with
apart.
This one. If you can,
so
next
this,
one.
Yeah, the CPUC, the CPUC data is going to be a little bit more applicable in regards to any funding requests or grant applications and as far as service areas. So,
yes. Okay, I can work with this one.
Good.
So what we see here in the pink areas on the map are the ones that are really unserved. And it's clear if you overlaid this on a map of a topographical map of Atascadero that a lot of our areas have challenges with hills.
Yep.
So, and then we have a pocket of it that's more central. Could you talk about a couple of the areas that are the extreme west side with lots of hills, the center of town, and the areas over by the city yard in that hilly area? About what some of the physical challenges are that we might be facing
sure,
in getting those types of areas connected.
So one of the unique things, again, when we looked at the asset inventory, we are talking about fiber. That is the framework for gigabit symmetrical speeds is fiber. Preferably it's buried, which is why California passed a law requiring municipalities to examine their policies around microtrenching and dig once. There is a fairly robust pole infrastructure in the city of Atascadero, which can be utilized for some of the deployment. So some of these areas where we see it's red, we didn't deep dive into the analysis as to whether that would be buried fiber or pole attached fiber. That would really be up to the ISP deploying it and the costs associated with that. Best case, you know, best practice is you bury it. If you can't bury it, you're gonna put it on a pole. as a pole attachment, and that's totally feasible. So that's what you're seeing. That's the hilly area on the west side. Now, that being said, there may be areas upon further analysis that would require some sort of potentially point-to-point wireless or some sort of other infrastructure, and some of that is already out there. It just would need to be enhanced. So I'm not going to speak too much to that technology, but topography is an issue for sure. Yeah, on that, and on the east side, I'm not entirely sure. That may be another service provider area who's just not providing the, or is the state hospital. There are some areas around there that are not providing services at that 25.3 speed.
Okay, thank you. That at least the bottom line is that there is hope on the horizon.
Yes.
For folks who find themselves out there, and the city is able to have a repeater station out there, so that would be an asset that we maybe can take advantage of too in the far west side and in some of the other areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we face really big barriers or only modest barriers in competing for grants for this work?
That is such a difficult question to answer because it really depends on who applies when. With the local agency technical assistance grants, it was just serendipitous that it really worked out well that this project was starting while that still there was still a pot of money. That pot of money has now been oversubscribed, and there's only, I want to say, less than 100 projects throughout the state of California that accessed those funds, $50 million. Also, please keep in mind that a lot of this is being funded through SB 156, which while we have this was the initial funding year, the planning for that is for it to be the pot to be refilled, so to speak, depending on budgeting and those types of things. So we'll just, again, that's something to watch as broadband planning moves on, is where are those funding opportunities going to continue. So these are SB 156 funds that we've been talking about right now.
Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Now that with the time change and the days longer, we got the sun coming in and you can't see Councilmember Darris, we're pulling blinds and all right,
yes,
he's here. Never fear. All right, other council questions, just looking to the scores here. Councilmember Newsom.
Lorelei, you were talking about bringing it back to council again. With this lengthy process, it looks like it's going to spread over a few years. How many more times this year do you think we'll be looking at this again as you're progressing through?
That's a good question. I think what we would do is bring all policy recommendations together, as you know, as appropriate, but I think we'll work with Public Works and hopefully remove some of the obstacles that have been kind of posed as challenges or things that are not broadband friendly with this year, possibly before the end of the year. That's the goal. In the meantime, that doesn't mean we have to slow down or slow down this process. As soon as we accept this project and document into our city, we can actually begin with the implementation of all of the other pieces too, including engagement of ISPs. And we're in conversations now. Those don't just stop magically. It's just a matter of, you know, what does that look like? And that is a really positive conversation that we're having with multiple ISPs. So it's very exciting.
Okay, so you said we'll see it again sometime in May or June?
Yeah, I think we can bring some policies together all at once. I would say within the next, before the end of the year.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councilmember Warbo.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, those kind of were my two questions, but I want to make sure I understand something. On Councilmember Newsom's question, though, if you're going to come back in May or June, that's like right around the corner. But I was just wondering, I mean, if implementing a policy would help move something along, then we wouldn't want to wait a year, I assume, to, you know, come back and do all of them at once.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then back on Councilmember Funk's question, because I had the same question, and I, you know, that other map with the really bright red and bright green really showed it better. But this shows it well enough that, mysteriously, if you're in front of Vons, you can't get high-speed internet. And it's kind of boggles the mind that the downtown core has a big pink blot on it. When, you know, according to this, we have people way out in the far end of Las Encinas that can that can have access to high-speed internet?
Potentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, when we're talking high-speed internet for our community right now, we are more talking around, 100, 300 download, depending on what you're paying. If you're paying less, you're not getting those speeds. It is throttled back. There aren't a lot of people or businesses in this community that are anywhere near any gig speed.
And when we say unserved, is that unserved? It could be by choice. I don't want it. Or is this unserved in terms of not available to me at that location?
Unserved infrastructure, unserved.
Not available?
So the unserved is 25. Now the terminology for unserved is anyone receiving service at 25 download, 3 upload, which is not considered really, that's dial-up almost. I don't really know, but that's considered unserved. So there are a lot of places that may be able to access something, but this is truly where service